Welcome to our service for the third Sunday of Easter. First, Jane and I would like to thank all members of our congregations for the generous Easter offerings that you gave us. As I probably say every year, I'm sure there are many other people in our churches who deserve them at least as much as me, but we are grateful nonetheless. It was quite funny, actually. We went away for our holiday straight after service on Easter morning, with the new key Easter offering in cash as collected in church, lots and lots of pound coins and smaller change as well as notes in quite a heavy bag. Went to the bar on the first evening after our 6-hour journey to Yorkshire, hoping to lighten the load a little. "Sorry, sir," the young girl said, "it's card only." It took me days to get rid of the cash. Our first hymn on the third Sunday of this joyful Easter season, appropriately enough, is "Come, let us join our cheerful songs with angels round the throne. 10,000,000 of their tongues, but all their joys are one."
Come, let us join our cheerful songs.
Begin our time of penitence with the Easter Kyries. Lord Jesus, you raise the dead to life in the Spirit. Lord, have mercy. Lord Jesus, you bring pardon and peace to the sinner. Christ, have mercy. Lord Jesus, you give light to those in darkness. Lord, have mercy. Let us confess our sins to Almighty God. Heavenly Father, we have sinned in thought, word, and deed. We have done what we ought not to have done, and have failed to do what we ought to have done. We are sorry, and truly repent. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, who died for us, forgive us all that is past, and lead us in his way to walk as children of light. Amen. Almighty God, have mercy upon us. Pardon and deliver us from all our sins, confirm and strengthen us in all goodness, and keep us in eternal life. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. The Collect for the third Sunday of Easter. Almighty Father, who in your great mercy gladdened the disciples with the sight of the risen Lord, give us such knowledge of his presence with us that we may be strengthened and sustained by his risen life, and serve you continually in righteousness and truth. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who is alive and reigns with you, in the unity of the Holy Spirit, one God, now and for ever. Amen. Our Bible readings today are read by Gillian.
The first reading is from the Acts of the Apostles, chapter 2, verse 14a and then 36 to 41. On the day of Pentecost, Peter, standing with the 11, raised his voice and addressed the crowd. let the entire house of Israel know with certainty that God has made him both Lord and Messiah, this Jesus whom you crucified." Now when they heard this, they were cut to the heart and said to Peter and to the other apostles, "Brothers, what should we do?" Peter said to them, "Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, so that your sins may be forgiven, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. For the promise is for you, for your children, and for all who are far away, everyone whom the Lord our God calls to him." And he testified with many other arguments and exhorted them, saying, "Save yourselves from this corrupt generation." So those who welcomed his message were baptized, and that day about 3,000 persons were added to their number. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. The second reading is from the first letter of Peter, chapter 1, verses 17 to 23. "If you invoke as Father the one who judges all people impartially according to their deeds, live in reverent fear during the time of your exile. You know that you were ransomed from the futile ways inherited from your ancestors, not with perishable things like silver or gold, but with the precious blood of Christ, like that of a lamb without defect or blemish. He was destined before the foundation of the world, but was revealed at the end of the ages for your sake. Through him you have come to trust in God, who raised him from the dead and gave him glory, so that your faith and hope are set on God. Now that you have purified your souls by your obedience to the truth, so that you have genuine mutual love, love one another deeply from the heart. You have been born anew, not of perishable, but of imperishable seed, through the living and enduring word of God." This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Give thanks with a grateful heart, give thanks.
May the words that I speak and the meditations of all our hearts be now and ever acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our Rock and our Redeemer. Amen. Our epistle reading today is from the first letter of Peter. Not everybody agrees that Peter wrote this letter, but I do think he did. From the first verse of today's reading we have, If you invoke as Father the one who judges all people impartially according to their deeds, live in reverent fear during the time of your exile. I want to spend some time this morning trying to understand what Peter means by saying to his hearers that they are living in exile. In fact, the whole letter begins with the greeting to the exiles of the dispersion in Pontus, Galatia, Cappadocia, Asia, and Bithynia. The place names here are from different parts of Asia Minor, what we would now call Turkey, but it's not clear how these addressees could be political exiles in those places. They're almost certainly not people who've been driven out of their home or native land and forced to live somewhere else. A few Christians may, by the date of this epistle, have fled from Rome or other centres of persecution, but hardly in such an organised way as to have created the Christian communities to whom this letter is addressed. It isn't a physical or political exile that Peter is addressing, but a spiritual one. The idea of exile was fundamental to Jewish self-understanding. 6 centuries or so before the time of Christ, many of the leaders and representatives of the Jews, the people of Judah, had been taken captive and transported as exiles to Babylon. It was a time remembered as a time of grief and sorrow. They had sat down by the rivers of Babylon and wept for their homeland, and especially for their ruined capital, the holy city of Jerusalem. In the time of the early church, Babylon came to stand as a metaphor for Rome. It was, to some extent, a kind of coded reference by which the Christians could protect themselves from Roman persecution. They would say things about Rome under cover of calling it Babylon. So when, at the end of this epistle, the apostle writes, Your sister church in Babylon sends you greeting, it tells us that he is in fact writing from Rome, the heart of the Roman Empire. There were, as we know, Jewish communities all over the Mediterranean region. Jews who had left Judah at one time or another to escape the political instability to which it was prone, coming under the sway of successive foreign empires of greater or lesser hostility. Rome was just the latest, and not necessarily the most hostile of these, but it became, as we know, especially hostile to the emerging Christian church. Judaism had been, and still was, tolerated by the Romans across the empire. This almost certainly does not mean that Jews were free from the outbreaks of persecution which seemed to have marked the whole of Jewish history. But Judaism was at least a religio licita in the empire, a licensed religion. It was not an offence for Jews to practice their faith, building local synagogues and worshipping in them, or as we see in some places, meeting for prayer on the Sabbath day at an outdoor location, perhaps just outside a city wall, or as they had done in Babylon, by a river or a place of refreshment. If the Christian church had stayed as a movement within Judaism, as initially it might have done when Christians just called themselves the Way, then Christian communities might have enjoyed the same protection as Jewish ones did. But there were 2 aspects of Christianity which Jews rejected. They rejected the idea that Jesus was the Messiah, and perhaps more virulently, they rejected the idea that Jesus or any other Messiah could fully be a Messiah for the Gentiles in the way that the Christians were arguing. The Jews had lived as exiles in the empire for many generations, protecting and preserving, as they saw it, the integrity and purity of their faith. The idea that a carpenter from Nazareth, crucified by the Romans, with a few fishermen and tent makers for followers, could open the gates of heaven to all believers from all the races and religions they had fought against was anathema to them. They were not happy for the Christians to remain part of the local or the wider Jewish community. Rather, as we know, they drove them out, even going so far as using men like Paul, when his name was still Saul, to travel from Jerusalem as far away as Syria to take them captive. But in fact, this was a two-way street. The Christians themselves were not happy to remain within a Judaism which could not accept the message of Christ. That also meant, though, that they could not enjoy the protection of being a religio licita. They refused to be a licensed religion, to be quiet and peaceable and not upset the apple cart. Their job, as they saw it, was to go everywhere and tell everyone the good news of Jesus. If being licensed meant keeping quiet, they were not prepared to do it. It begins as early as Acts chapter 2, at first in the context of Jewish persecution. The Jewish council, the Sanhedrin, ordered Peter and John not to speak or teach at all in the name of Jesus. But Peter and John answered them, "Whether it is right in God's sight to listen to you rather than to God, you must judge, for we cannot keep from speaking about what we have seen and heard." They refused to be silenced, and that refusal was what caused them to be persecuted. The Christians increasingly felt, therefore, a deep sense of spiritual exile. They were at home neither in the Jewish world nor in the Roman one. Rejected by the Jews, the Lord's own people, and persecuted by the Roman authorities across the empire, there grew stronger and stronger among them the sense, as the writer of Hebrews puts it, that we have here no abiding city, that there was no place in this world that could truly be called their home. Rather, they were looking for a new Jerusalem, the city that is to come. What had happened to them, in fact, was that a spiritual principle had become their lived experience. In John chapter 17, Jesus says exactly the same thing in different words when he's praying for his disciples. "They do not belong to the world, just as I do not belong to the world." It's in this sense that the people Peter is addressing are exiles, and it's in this sense that Christians are still, to some extent, exiles from our true homeland, waiting for the fulfillment of our relationship with Jesus in a new world yet to be. In many ways, most of us today struggle to understand what it might mean to live as exiles in the world. But for the first Christians, the issue was a really sharp and simple one. You could give in, make some kind of sacrifice to the deity of the emperor, and stay alive in this world, or you could refuse, in which case the Roman authorities would send you to the next one, as they had sent Jesus before you. And it was, without doubt, the example of the Lord Jesus which persuaded the early Christian martyrs to choose the latter option, as so many of them did, including, of course, our writer Peter himself. It is a miracle that in the short time that Peter and the rest remained alive, they did enough to establish the Christian church which survives to this day. Peter, Paul, Andrew, and the rest mostly died only about 30 years after the crucifixion and resurrection of Jesus. But it is another, second miracle that there, despite their subsequent deaths, and despite the fact that the church was subjected to vicious persecution by the greatest power in the world, it could not be stamped out. The writer of our epistle today was given his name by the Lord himself. "I tell you, you are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell will not prevail against it." And they didn't. Amen. Let us declare our faith together. We believe in one God, the Father, the Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, of all that is, seen and unseen. We believe in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only Son of God, eternally begotten of the Father. We believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord, the giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son. We believe and trust in one God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. And now, as they say, something completely different. The great African-American spiritual, When I Lay My Burden Down. Our intercessions today will be led by Helen. We begin as usual with the Lord's Prayer in the language of our choice. En ta dotha noiten a nevaith sanctelia de enu, de led de dernas gunala de wichlis, megis en a nev, vechli ar a ddear hefyd. Dyr on heddiw yn bar y benyddiol, y maddau ni yn dyledion fel y maddau ni'n yn dyledwyr. ac nac arwain ni ym roddedigaeth, eitha gwared ni rhag drwg, canis eitha ti o'r dernas, o'r gallu a'r gogoniant, yn oes oes oedd. Amen. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us today our daily bread, and forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours, now and for ever. Amen.
Holy God, as we gather in fellowship and worship to hear your word and to sing your praise, walk with us on our road to Emmaus. Open our eyes, as you did with Jesus' companions, to the reality and truth of the resurrection. Gweddion dros bawb sydd yn pregethu'r efengyl, yn teini goleini dros y tywyllwch, a geiriau cariadus dros yr rheini sydd yn fregus. Fe gofion yn arbennig Joanna ein hysgob, Eileen ein harchdeacon, John ein deon ardal leol, Matthew, Judith, a phawb sydd yn helpu yn ein eglwysi. Arglwydd, yn dy drigaredd, gwrando ein gweddi. Creator God, your Son walked the roads and tracks of the Holy Land and taught us to seek your hand in the beauty and wonders of earth and sea and the sky. We so often take for granted the beautiful areas in which we live. We do not always look after them, and it is easy to forget that the world belongs to you. Help us to recognize your presence in our modern world, and help us to use more wisely the resources of the earth. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. O Dduw ein tad, rydym yn ddiolchgar eich bod wedi danfon eich mab i gerdded gyda ni ar ein siwrne trwy bywyd. Gweddion dros bawb sydd yn teithio gyda ni. Teuliau, ffrindiau, cymdogion a'n cymunedau leol. Helpwch ni fod yn gefn i'n gilydd ac i ddilyn eich esiampl ym mhopeth yr ydym yn ei wneud. Gweddion hefyd dros fyfyrwyr a disgyblion sydd yn paratoi ar gyfer arholiadau a fydd yn penderfynu cyfeiriad eu siwrne nesaf. Byddwch gyda nhw dros yr wythnosau nesaf. Arglwydd, yn dy drugaredd, gwrando ein gweddi. Loving God, send your Son to walk with those we know who are going through times of suffering and pain. We pray especially for all who care for them in whatever role. Help us to always be aware of one another's needs and to respond accordingly and assist them with words and deeds onto the road of recovery. And in a moment's silence, we remember those precious to us who are suffering. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Merciful God, accompany those travelling through the valley of death. May our love and prayers support those who walk that journey today. And we remember all those who have recently left us. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Faithful God, as we go from our worship today out into your world, we thank you for walking alongside us wherever we travel. And if, like those first disciples, we fail to be aware of you, forgive us for our human weakness and open our eyes to see you as a constant companion and friend. Merciful Father, accept these prayers for the sake of your Son, our Saviour, Jesus Christ. Amen.
The Easter Blessing. Almighty God, our Heavenly Father, who brought again from the dead our Lord Jesus Christ, that great Shepherd of the sheep, by the blood of the eternal covenant, make you perfect in every good work to do his will, and work in you always that which is well-pleasing in his sight. And the blessing of God Almighty, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, rest upon you and remain with you, this day and always. Amen.